pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, again this morning, as humble as we know how. We thank you, Lord, for every blessing. We thank you, Lord, for these that are bowed with us. Father, you know the need of the hour. We ask you, dear God, that you'd grant it today. Lord, help us this morning to move up closer. Lord, you said if we'd draw near to you, you'd draw near to us. Father, I pray, Lord, this morning, God, that we'd take that step, Lord, towards you. We ask you, Father, again, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us liberty, Lord, one more time as we stand between you and this judgment-bound people. Lord, we do realize the responsibility that's laid upon us. And as the Apostle Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Father, the necessity of the gospel was laid upon us this morning. We ask you, Father, to bless us now. Help us not to be hearers only, but to be doers of your word. We ask you now to go with us in the service. Save those that are lost and revive those that are backslidden today. Lord, what you do for us, we'll be careful to thank you. And we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach this morning, if God will help me, for just a few minutes on a very simple thought. I want to talk to us about He knows. Yes, He does. That's about as simple as I know to give it to you this morning, is to know that He knows. There's not anything that gets by the Lord. We can't hide from God. God is too big. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. That means He can be in heaven and on earth at the same time. That means that He can be here at Big Antioch and over yonder at Little Antioch at the same time. He can. He can be everywhere because He knows everything. He's not only omnipresent, but He's omniscient. He knows everything. There's not any thing that He doesn't know. He knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows the very intent that's in a man. And so there's not anything that we can get by God. David said He knows my going out. He said He knows my coming in. He knows everything about us, and He knows the very intents of our heart and our mind. And the Bible tells us that He helps our infirmities. He says, for when we don't even know what we should pray for as we ought, He said He prays for us. He knows when we don't even know. He knows. Amen. Think about that. As simple as that is, but oh, how profound it is when we don't even know what to pray or how to pray. He knows. Amen. How to pray for us. He said, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And so the Spirit that's on it, that's in us, and God the Father that's on the throne, and the Son of God that's seated at the right hand, they're all one. Amen. And God knows the mind of the Spirit. And so when He prays, He knows. Amen. I'm glad this morning that He knows all about us today. There's some secret things about me that I don't want you to know. But God knows. Amen. He knows every secret sin, every secret action. He knows everything unbecoming of a Christian that we do. He knows all about us today. I'm glad this morning that He knows. That gives me confidence. Amen. It gives me confidence. It gives me comfort to know that He knows. Sometimes a man can't understand us. They don't understand why we do and think the things we do and why we do the things we do. But God knows. Sometimes when I'm trying to take care of the flock, the church of the living God, being the overseer here and trying to understand you, I'm a failure at best. I don't know how to understand you. Oh, how I would love to. I'd love to understand and know about you, but I'm limited, but I can point you to the one that does know. Amen. And he can give us comfort, and he can give us confidence in knowing the fact that when everybody else fails to understand, he does understand. Amen. He knows. And so Romans gives us that precious blessing of the Spirit of God and the knowledge of his Spirit that's on the inside of us, that knows of the very intents of our heart and our mind. But I want you to notice in verse number 28, 29, and 30, how the very depths of the knowledge of God. I want you to look at it in these three verses for just a few minutes. In verse number 28, how the Bible tells us that he knows of our very purpose. Amen. He knows our very purpose. I understand somebody said one time how that teenagers act up in school just because they don't know who they are. How they're trying to find themselves, so to speak. But I want you to know that the Lord already has found you. Amen. You're uniquely made. Amen. And every one of us are individuals. And the Lord made us all. Amen. And he made us for a purpose. The Bible said in verse 28, he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. So we know this morning that the very purpose of God for you and I is that we get saved. Amen. His will is that none perish, but that all come to repentance, and that all get saved. Not a one to be left out, but his purpose for mankind, his purpose for Jesus coming into this world and to die on the cross was to forgive us of our sin. His purpose for Jesus to be buried, and on the third day God raised him from the dead, is for us that we might live through him. Amen. Because he lives, we live also. And just a few weeks we'll be celebrating what we call Easter Sunday, the resurrection day. Amen. That we as Christians and in the Christian community celebrate of the resurrection of our Lord. And we always celebrate the life of Christ Jesus our Lord. But his purpose in us is that we through him can also live. Amen. Amen. I want to say this morning, I thank God that the Spirit of the Lord knows our purpose. Amen. When I think about it, I've told this probably time and time again here at Antioch, but I remember when I was just a young boy, probably about 15 years old, I thought the thing that I needed to do was get me a guitar, strap it on my back, head out to California and play in some rock band out there somewhere and make a living with rock and roll music. But that wasn't God's plan. When I was 16 years old, the Lord gloriously saved my soul. Amen. He picked me up out of the miry pit, set my feet up on a solid rock, and established my going. I put a new song, amen, in my mouth, even praise unto the Lord. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad he knows my purpose. Amen. I want to know that I'm a fulfilling God's purpose in my life to the best of my ability by the help of the Spirit of God. The Bible said, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I'm infirmed at best, but thank God he still loves me. Amen. He knows my purpose. But then he also knows God's plan. Amen. The Bible said in verse 29, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. That the Spirit of God knows the plan of God. I believe his brother Hired said this morning that Job requested a day's man. Somebody who knows God and somebody who knows Job. And the Bible Bible tells us that Jesus was sent into this world to become, had to be that day's man. That could put one hand on me where nobody else could understand me. And put one hand on God where I couldn't understand God. And He brought us together. Thank God in His infinite plan for my life. Thank God He brought us together in Christ Jesus our Lord. But notice what the Bible said. He said, for whom He did foreknow. He knew every one of us. Amen. Now let me stop there just a minute. Contrary to what's being taught oftentimes in our world today, we were not ever angels in heaven, nor will we ever be angels in heaven. When a little baby dies, I know it sounds sweet at the funeral when we talk about they're going to be an angel in heaven. And that's a pretty concept. But I want to be honest with you, they're more than an angel. Amen. Amen. They're more than an angel. Amen. So the Bible tells us here now, He said, for whom He foreknew. He did foreknow you and I. He told Jeremiah, He said, when you was in the womb of your mother, He said, I knew you. Amen. He knew me. Before I was ever come into the world, He knew me. Amen. And He knew His plan for me. And that included me to be made into the image and the likeness of His darling Son. I'm going to tell you, I'm not perfect yet, but wait till you see me in my new house. Amen. I'll be perfect, like it in fashion unto the very image of God's Son. Let me stop right there just a minute. Now, those 12 patriarchs, we call them sons of Abraham. And it says that they were in the loins of Abraham. When Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek in Jerusalem, you remember that? He said they were in the loins of Abraham. Now, I want you to know something this morning. We were never in the loins of God. No, we are sons of God, but we were always in the heart and mind of God, in the foreknowledge of God. Amen. Therefore, God never had but one son, His only begotten Son, and His name's Jesus. Hallelujah. But oh, thank God He fashioned us likened unto the very image of His own Son. Glory to God that in Christ Jesus, God had many sons adopted into the family of God. Now, behold, we are the sons of God. His plan. Amen. He knew that before I ever came into the world. In His foreknowledge, He knew that right here in the month of March, here I'd stand in the pulpit at Antioch Baptist Church proclaiming His plan. God's got a plan for you, and He's fashioning you into the image of His Son. Oh, this old Adam race is going to fall off one day, and it's going to spring forth into the likeness of the Son of God. The Bible said, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Now listen, He did predestinate. That means to what it means to mark off the boundary, the boundaries ahead of time, to mark off the boundaries that ahead of time. Amen. In other words, He started on me way back yonder, and when He gets through with me, I'll be like the Son of God. Amen. Oh, I know that's hard to fathom, but I want to be honest with you. God knows. He knows what plan He has for you. Now, how elementary is it really when we say something like, God made me a nurse? Now, I believe God knew you was going to be a nurse, don't you? Yeah. Or God made me a mechanic. Or God made me a school teacher. I understand what we say. With all that, I understand that. But God's purpose and plan for you He wasn't worried about you being a nurse. He wasn't worried about you being a mechanic. He wasn't worried about you being anything but the Son of God. Amen. Amen. Fashion, that's what he's doing. He's not making you perfect into being who you are. He's making you perfect into being who he is. Amen. And the more that we let him do his perfect work, the more we'll fashion liking unto the very image of his Son. You remember when he made man way back in the garden, when he made the first man, he said, I'm going to make him in the likeness and in our image. In our likeness and in our image. But that got marred because Adam sinned. That got marred, and he could not do anything with that first man. He was marred at best and could never be in the image and in the likeness of God. But until the Son of God came into the world, the second Adam, and we that are in the Him, amen, are endeavored to be fashioned into the likeness and the image of God. What we lost in Adam, we gained in Christ. Hallelujah! Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. Hey, son, how you doing? Fashion like it unto the Son of Man. Yeah. Amen. His plan for you is to be more like him. Amen. Amen. But then look at the promise. Now, the Holy Spirit knows. He knows God's very purpose for you and knows the very plan that God has for you. But look at this. He said, moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now, understand, those that he are predestinating, he started right here. And when we get over yonder, amen, we're going to be like Jesus. Amen. He said, them he also called. He said, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I'm persuaded, and I believe that he is able to perform that that I have committed unto him until that day. I believe that glorification process is as good as it's already happened. Now you look at your Bible. Every bit of this is past tense. Has none of it's present and none of it's future. Every bit of it's past tense. He says, moreover, whom he did predestinate. That included me. Thank God. And whom he called. That's me. He called me in eternity past. Thank God. He said, them whom he called, he also justified. Amen. He's not justifying me. He justified me already. And he said, them whom he justified, them he also glorified. Hallelujah. That's as good as if I'm already there. The promise is already laid upon me, and it's laid upon you. Let me read this other verse.
God bless him.
He said, what shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, then who can be against us? He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, amen, our Lord.
Amen.
Well, if it was in past tense, that means before I was ever born, the Holy Spirit knew.
Amen.
He knew. Before you was ever born, he knew.
Thank you.
You. He said he knows every hair numbered on our head.
Right.
I mean, that's how he knows our very inward parts, for he formed them in the womb. He put all that together. You're who you are because God fixed you that way, and you're special. Somebody said, boy, if I could just be like that one, I know I could be better. No, it don't work like that. God made you who you are.
Amen.
Amen. And He made you for His glory.
Amen.
Amen. And that we all that are predestined into the likeness of His Son, that we come to Him and He justified us and He glorified us. All I need to do is step out of this Adam, take it off, and just step right off into eternity with the next Adam. Amen. The sanctification process begins at regeneration and it ends at glorification. He's still working on me. My wife and myself and my two boys, when they was little bitty together, used to sing that song, "He's Still Working on Me."
Yeah.
I've got a tape at my house. When they were little bitty boys, somebody taped them at a church service and gave me that tape. And one of them little bitty cassette tapes. I don't even know if we may not even have a player anymore, but we've got that. And I can still hear them in my mind's ear singing that song, "He's Still Working on Me." I'm not finished yet. Don't judge me yet. Amen. He's still working on me. He's still working on you. Amen. But He knows all about us. Now let me ask you this. If He knows all about us, don't you know He cares?
He
cares for you. Whatever's burdened in your heart and you don't know how to pray. Jesus said, when He came into Jerusalem, He went into the temple, and when He went in there, they were selling sacrifices in there, and they had tables with money changers, and they were selling doves, and Jesus walks in the temple, and He looks at it, and He sees all of that, and He runs them out, and He says, "This is My house, and it shall be called the house of prayer." You remember that text, and He runs them out. And the Bible said when He ran them out, all the poor and the maimed and the crippled and the blind, they come in, and they're crying out to the Lord, and they're praising the Lord. And those chief priests and scribes and what we would call chief people, they were in there, and they were, at that time, they couldn't do anything lest it stirred up too much. So what they did from that time forward, tried to find ways to kill it. It got them. I mean, it got them. And then the Bible says in Mark, the Bible said that after He runs them out, and those poor and maimed and blind come in, and He's healing them. And it said many more came in to hear Him. To hear Him. Now I said all that to say this. This is a time of prayer now. Every preaching, every message, everything that's done is centered into a time of prayer. Every time I preach, every time you testify, every time a song's being sung, it's to help you to come and pray. That's what it's for. Let's get an invitation. Just an invitation to come and pray. Some of you have got something on your mind that you need to pray about. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. That's where we're at. Some of you have got something on your heart that you want to pray about. It's okay. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows this morning. He knows what you got on your mind. He knows what you got on your heart. Why don't you bring it to Jesus this morning while we stand together?